Why not free if you don't have to pay? Isn't that a good thing? Would you be offended if someone walked up and gave you a beautiful Porsche or something after the service?
Oh, well, hold it. I struggle so much. I don't know if I could really afford to maintain it.
I don't care. I'm giving it to you for free.
Oh, well, I don't know. It might mess with my image.
Live blessed. You know, we can't live blessed unless we understand and live in kingdom perspectives where the blessings all are. Where the kingdom of God is where blessings reside. Everything where the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven at hand, there will be blessings in everything. Is this a little hot? Are we okay? Is this mic okay? You guys okay? A little, you good? Okay, perfect. Awesome. I can't hear out there. I can only hear in here, but I like the sound. We are never to live in the reaction of the devil. We are to always live in the responses of God. You know, how many people live in the reaction of the enemy? And because if we live in the reaction of the enemy, we're always going to feel defeated. But when you live in the reaction, the responses of truly of who God is, then the responses become victory because God is never responding in defeat. The enemy's already defeated. If we live in the reaction, oh, you know, the end of the world is coming. North Korea's going to bomb us, da-da-da-da-da-da, you know.
So-and-so sinned, and I just, you know, I got to hang,
we talk about it, and we talk to each other, and so many times we just talk way too much about the problems. And because we sit there and we talk about everyone's problems, what we do is we actually open up the door of negativity, and that negativity is literally a curse of the enemy. And when we open up the doors of negativity and we talk too much and spend too much on everybody else's problems and our own problems and issues, it creates an independent spirit inside of us. And when we have an independent spirit, we no longer can relate and correlate to the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God does not live and cannot live in the negativity. This earth has a lot of negative things going on, but I guarantee you the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is all positive. Everything is for good. It's for the goodness of God. It's for the glory of God. And so if we ever slip back accidentally by boo-boo, by mistake, the kingdom of God, celebrating and praising who God is, creates the atmosphere. Celebration will overpower everything the enemy has tried to defeat in your life. Amen? God never violates this Bill Johnson quote. God never violates his word. But he's quite comfortable violating our own understanding of his word. God will never violate his word, but he has no problem. I think he actually enjoys violating our own man-made theologies or our man-made understandings of his word. The sad part is so many people have to camp out on their own theology, their own interpretation. And they miss the move and the flow of the revelation of God for this day and this hour. Some people say, well, there is no more revelation of God. 400 years after the death of Christ, God went into a time of silence, so there are no more prophets, there are no more apostles. Believe me, I understand. I have 4 years of seminary in that theology. But I want to tell you, I don't see it in my Bible. I don't see it in my Bible. What I see in my Bible is that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And when he hung on that cross, when he was whipped across his back, every sickness we can declare freedom from. That every sin, when that blood flowed down that cross, every sin was washed away. Oh, but not mine.
Well, not so-and-so's especially. You know what he did last week? You know what he did, and you know what he said, and you know what they did 5 years ago, and you know what they did 10 years ago, you know what 20, you know what 50 years ago, you know what he said? He can't be forgiven.
Please show me, where are you getting that theology from the Word of God? Everything the Word talks about is forgiveness and restoration. Bringing us back into the rightful place. What's the rightful place? You know what the rightful place for you and for me and everyone watching right now is? You know what that rightful place is? That rightful place is sons and daughters of the King. You are princes and princesses. At the least, you're princes and princesses. We're rightful place is in kingship and rulership with God on this earth. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. I'm not going to go at the first part, but I didn't get to conclude the ending, so I want to go back. You can write some of these down. In Acts chapter 14, verse 8, was the stoning of Paul and Barnabas. I'm not going to read them all because I read them back in early March. Acts 14:22 talks about the strengthening of souls. It says in Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. What's being implied here is that without the struggles going on, you won't actually understand and experience the fullness and freedom called the kingdom of God. So we can take the faults and the problems and live in them, but you're not in the kingdom of God. Or you can take the issues and problems, look to the creator of all things, the one who has fallen in love with you, who knew you before the foundations of the earth were laid, who sanctified you in Jeremiah 1, verse 5. It sanctified, he knew you and sanctified you and prepared you. You can take a look at that one, that God, because that God has literally set us free. And every trouble and every problem, actually, you can take right now. It doesn't give you the greasy grace to say, well, I can just sin and I'm going to be forgiven. No, that's greasy grass, bad grace. That's bad theology. The true grace of God is, I love you so much, I'm expecting you to love me back so you never sin. Well, how can we be sinless? I don't know. Maybe look at Jesus. Maybe try to live the life of Christ. That's going to help. That'll be the first start. Because he actually did live sinless. Amen? I like how the Passion Translation translates Acts 14:22. At each place they went, they strengthened the lives of the believers and encouraged them to go deeper in their faith. And they taught them, it is necessary for us to enter into the realm of God's kingdom because that's the only way we will endure our many trials and persecutions. Love it. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, kingdom of God. Luke 17, verse 20. So when he was asked by the Pharisees, this is Jesus. So when Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, the kingdom of God, when the kingdom of God would come. And so Jesus answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. You realize when we're having the really amazing worship, Don, it was off the charts, the whole worship band. When we're having amazing worship, that's actually not, we're not seeing the kingdom of God. What we're seeing is an expression of the kingdom. But the kingdom of God does not come by observation. It comes by, if it's not observation, then it comes by choice. So the kingdom of God is not an emotional feeling. It's not what you feel. It's not, ooh. It's not. That's not the kingdom of God. It can be an expression of the kingdom of God in you, but the kingdom of God is not seen by observation. Verse 21, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. It is within us. Well, I got a bit of a belly now, so I have a bigger kingdom. Amen. See? No, that's not the kingdom. That just means healthy eating or bad eating too much. That word kingdom is basileia. It means royal power, kingship, dominion, and rule. There's two uses of this word. The first use is not to be confused with an actual kingdom, but rather the right or authority to rule over a kingdom. So the kingdom of God, basileia, is in us. What it means is that within us, as we have given our lives to Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ, he has created the opening, the door into the relationship and intimacy with the Father. With the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, there is a kingdom of God that is dwelling within us. And it is an actual, it's right or authority to rule over a kingdom. It has the right and the authority internally in us. It has the right and authority to rule over a kingdom. Which kingdom do you choose to rule over? Lots of devil, lots of sin, lots of problem. Then you will rule in that situation in the demonic realm or the sin realm. But if you take the kingdom of God in you, then you rule with the dominion in the authority of all that the kingdom of God has established around us. The second use of the word basileia is a kingdom, the territory subject to the rule of a king. It's used in the New Testament to refer to the reign of the Messiah. So basileia is internal and external. So the kingdom of God is internal. It gives us the authority to rule in a kingdom. A sinner who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has the authority to rule in sin. Why? Because they were born in sin. Because they were born in sin, they are sons and daughters to sin. But you see, when we get reborn through Jesus Christ again, we become sons and daughters of the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We become a son and a daughter of the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning from the end, the everlasting, as far as the east is from the west, that is him. So we then become sons and daughters of the true King because of the kingdom of God within us. He has given us, through our free will choice of receiving him, he has given us the authority to reign and rule in his kingdom. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. The kingdom of heaven take it by force. I love this. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, it's implying that John the Baptist had an encounter and an experience even before he knew the Christ. Something happened to John the Baptist out in the desert with his locust feet hanging from his teeth and his stinky camel hair on his back. You know, the ones that most churches would call wacko. They would say, that guy is so whacked out, and please don't let him come in our doors. Oh no, here comes John the Baptist again. Well, we don't know he's a Baptist yet, but he's John. Here comes John. Close the doors. Okay, clear out a seat for the very back row. Because he's stinky. Stinky, his hair's a mess. I don't know what he eats from his own hair. Who knows? Stuff's growing in there. I don't know. But I know he's eating locusts. That's like a big grasshopper. One of the Spanish translations calls locusts langosta, I won't say a shrimp, but it's a lobster. Langosta. I'm like, oh, I like that translation. I could eat lobster all day in the desert. But it's not. It's a locust. It's like a big grasshopper. Mmm, yum. Yum, yum. You know how many you got to eat? Like, he's got to have a whole bunch of these things jumping around in his camel hair outfit. Anyone ever smelt a camel? Smell one next time. Go to the zoo if they still have a camel and say, hey, can I sniff the hair? My pastor told me. I need to sniff the camel hair. He'd probably pick up a big blob of something that the camel left, and he'd say, sniff this, because it smells about the same. Wow. Camels aren't good smelling things, so John's not smelling too good. But he's declaring, here Jesus is declaring, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom is basileia once again. It means royal power, kingship, dominion, and rule, both internal and external. And so I know that how do we get kingdom of God deeper established and rooted inside of us? Violence. You're all looking at me, violence? What are you talking about? You have to violently kill every sin, every attack of sin in your life. The only war and battle that's raging is your free will, because heaven, God's kingdom, and the devil's kingdom are not at war anymore. The devil already lost the battle. The angels have the victory. They're not battling. You don't see in the spirit. If you're seeing angels battling demons for territory, that's actually wrong. That's not a biblical theology that would be true to New Covenant teaching. They're actually not fighting each other. The only battle that still rages on this earth is right between your ears. And it's your free will, your thoughts, your will, and your emotions, your soul. That's the battle. And so that whole angelic realm, if you really think about it, stands in authority, watching and waiting to see what God's sons and daughters are going to do. Because they already defeated that devil. When he tried to rise up and become greater than God, what a ridiculous concept. That dumb devil.
Well, he's pretty smart.
No, he's only as smart as you make him. It is not smart to think you can become greater than your creator. That's not smart. That's kind of like thinking the computers are going to become smarter, and you're going to say, oh, well, some more. I watched the movie. Someone had to program it into them. Computers aren't self-thinking. They're ones and zeros. They're a bunch of zeros. No, they're smart. Yeah, I know, because someone smart programmed them. Anyways, what am I saying? I'm no binary expert of binary code for computer, but I know one thing. Everything I've studied in the Word of God, the devil's dumb. It's only the foolish that empower that devil. Now, the unknown, in other words, the ones who don't know about Jesus Christ, they know no different. They're sinners. They know no different. They're just literally living in what they were born into. But for someone who knows Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, empowered by the Holy Spirit in our lives, we're reborn. We're new beings. We're new creatures in Him. Know right from wrong. And because we know right from wrong, the more right we do, the less wrongs will happen. It's a choice.
No, but the devil's so strong.
He's not. You just made him strong. It'd be kind of like me looking at a devil or a demon and saying, oh, he's so big. Oh, he's powerful. We better get 100 intercessors together and start going after this principality because he's so powerful. If he was that powerful, we'd all be squashed like a bug right now. He is not that powerful. Amen. But when you see something in the spirit or experience something and you just think that you're a loser and you don't have a purpose and you don't have a destiny and how does that come about, that theology? Poor me, poor me, poor me. What we do is we start, it's like praying to God, except you're speaking to the devil. You see, our prayers to God are celebration and praises. If we spend all our time praying to God, only time we pray to God is about our problems and issues, that devil's listening real clear. God knows your problems and issues. You don't even have to tell him. You just got to celebrate him, because celebration is praise into his throne room, into the power and authority of the king. Of course, you can tell him your problem, but just remember, he already knows it. So don't dwell all day on it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent! You hear me say this a lot in this script, in this church. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what is Jesus saying? He's saying that without repentance, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Without true repentance in our lives, you can't see and experience the trueness of the kingdom of heaven. But when we repent, since Jesus Christ has already forgiven us, since God has already forgiven us, because Jesus became a doorway into unlimited merit, unlimited favor, unlimited blessings, unlimited goodness of God, since Jesus Christ died and rose again, he opened a door into the favors of the kingdom of heaven. And all we have to do is repent. And when we repent, it means a change of, it actually means a mindset change. That word repent actually means to change the way you think. It doesn't mean, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry, bam. Sorry, bam. Sorry, bam. No. Repent means you change the way you think. And when you change the way you think, you start to live in the kingdom of heaven at hand. Without repentance, you can't even walk into the forgiveness that's already there. Matthew 10, verses 7 to 8. Matthew 10, 7 to 8. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what happens whenever you go into this earth and into this world and you're preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand? When you're living, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because some of the greatest preaching that any one of us can do will never be from a pulpit, but it'll be from your life of testimony. And you can go into everything within the world. You can go to your job. You can go into your marriage. You can go to family environment and family things. You can go everywhere you go. And you can declare, you can preach from the power of your testimony that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what will they see when the kingdom of heaven is preached? It says in verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. I'd say cast out demons first in our own life. Because when you live within the kingdom of heaven, it's just not carrying that much baggage anymore. Those demons just sort of disappear because light always dispels darkness. Darkness can never overpower light. It's a natural fact. It's a phenomenon. But light always dispels darkness. Matthew 16, verse 17 to 18. Matthew 16, 17 to 19, sorry. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Thank you, Peter, for Father, my Father who is in heaven has given you this understanding about this church, the ecclesia, about the governmental structure of this kingdom of heaven at hand. And I also say to you, Peter, that on this rock I will build my church. On what? On the revelation that we can hear from our Father who's in heaven. On this revelation, Peter, on the understanding that we can literally hear from the kingdom of heaven within us. On this revelation that we have communion, we have ability to speak and talk with our Father. On this revelation, I will build my church. And that church is called ecclesia. There's two things and two expressions of church in the Bible. One is church, ecclesia, and whenever you read family, or most of the times when you read family and stuff, it's oikos. Ecclesia, it's not a biblical term. Ecclesia is a Roman term. It was being used already in a non-biblical sense. It means a governing structure. And so the Roman ecclesia, what they did is they came in and the people formed an ecclesia to be the governing structure. And Rome wanted to have that ecclesia become Roman so Rome would invade the world. Well, Jesus is saying, I want your ecclesia to become God, the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven will invade this world. And so every culture you go into, you carry kingdom of heaven. Because we carry kingdom of heaven, it will invade the sphere of influence around us. I'll read verse 18 again. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, this revelation, this understanding, I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Why? Because it's the kingdom of heaven, and nothing can prevail against the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to go farther, that you actually choose to have the revelation of my Father speaking to you. Because of that, I'm going to go farther, and I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. My God, how great and big you are. And yet you are promising that you have given us keys. And sometimes we have a hard time just trying to do life. What? What's up with life? Well, we're having a hard time, Brent. You don't understand the struggles I'm going through. I don't want to understand those struggles. Because if I have to understand them, then I start thinking I have to process the meaning of them. But I'll tell you the meaning. Get more kingdom of God. Get more kingdom of God.
But you don't want to counsel me every week.
I know, because you're depressing me. You want to meet with me? Come and tell me the celebration and the testimony of what God's doing in your life.
But my marriage is on the rocks and I gotta meet once a week.
Where did Jesus meet once a week with everybody? He didn't. He met the woman at the well. He gave her prophetic word and he said, go tell everybody. But it doesn't show anywhere that he had a Starbucks with her the second week. I'm not against counseling. We're going to help you. If you can't afford a proper good counselor and you need to talk to somebody, you know, I studied counseling. And we were always told, don't speak, listen. I just can't do that. We have amazing men and women. Look at Pastor John and Lona. They'll listen. But you know what? They'll listen for a season, but they're going to give you something that you need to do to fix the problem. And I tell all my leadership, if you meet week after week after week with the same problem, and let's say they're having struggles in the marriage and they're into pornography, and you tell them, hey, you need to get your eyes out of that pornography because that's destroying your marriage. And they come back the next week, well, have you got out of pornography? No, I can't. I like pornography. But can you help me with my marriage? No, I can't help you with your marriage. What are you asking? I'm here to give you truth, because the truth will set you free. If you ignore truth, then you're going to live in condemnation and lack of freedom. I choose not to live in that lack of freedom, so I'm not going to listen to everyone's problems and issues. Anybody want to sign up for counseling? Super simple. It's actually really easy. I believe if we should have more prophetic counseling, you should just come in the office, sit there, don't say a word, and we will tell you what you need to know. Psalms 145. You're saying, is this an Easter message? Like, where's the bunny and the chocolates? Let me tell you where the bunny is. I ate him. I ate him last year. Bunny tacos. And I had the chocolates for dessert, okay? So that's done. Bunny's dead. Jesus Christ is alive. And the neat thing about Jesus Christ is you can eat him every single day. And you'll constantly fill, but you'll never be too full because there's always more to fill your bellies. Psalms chapter 145. Psalms 145. You know what? I am actually going to start in verse 1 because I'm feeling lucky. No, I'm just kidding. That's a Dirty Harry thing. Psalms 145. It's the one phrase I remember years ago watching the movie. Do you feel lucky, punk? I'm going to get Don and the team, or Donna at least, and the team. How about Don and the team up here for a moment? Psalms 145, verse 1. The question is, do you feel blessed and do you feel fortunate? Because we're talking about the kingdom of God within us and the kingdom at hand around us. We're talking two things, internal kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is always explained as it's within us. The kingdom of heaven at hand is always explained within reach. It's touchable. To reach this kingdom of heaven, because at hand is an expression that is very common back in the day. It means you're close enough to touch it. So at hand means I have to get close enough to Kevin to touch him. As soon as I get this close, now I'm at hand. Okay? Kingdom of God is in us. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of God lives in kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven is where he dwells. His throne room of victory. We can go into third heaven, second heavens, and the earth, however you want to describe it. But the kingdom of God is in his presence. His presence surrounds his throne. His presence, as Genesis 1:28 says, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. Just keep the band down, okay, a little bit. I think you can do a master. That fruitfulness, be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth, back in Genesis 1:28, he's actually saying to Adam and Eve, I want you to understand the kingdom of God that you have in you. You're living in the kingdom of heaven at hand. I want that to expand, defeat the devil again by man's own free will and subdue this whole earth. Well, we know what happened, sin. Adam and Eve sinned. Jesus came back, many say, as a second Adam. He came back to reestablish the original properties and principles of what God had done in the garden. He came back to reestablish and say, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and subdue this earth. So if you are a Christian and you believe or get offended at another Christian being fruitful and multiplying, then you have a problem. We should celebrate the blessing and favor of God. You know what? I woke up this morning, checked my emails. My wife and I leave early, early tomorrow morning. We actually leave home at 3 a.m. to get into the airport for 4 a.m. And we're flying off to Hawaii tomorrow. Now, you all think it's a vacation. We get in Monday afternoon, evening, and then I'm teaching in the Ekbalo School. It's with Rod and Marion Hall, but it's actually a part of the Call, Lou Ingalls Group. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And then Sharon and I are going to go for 3 days extra and celebrate Hawaii together. Amen. And actually, it'll be my wife's birthday as well, too. But I wake up this morning and I get an email. You have been upgraded to first class. And so you all think I left my wife behind. No, they upgraded us both on both flights. If that offends you, I hope it does. Because I'm going to sit when everyone else sits in the little seats. I get a big seat and I get a real good dinner with hot peanuts first. A nice steamed rag to wipe my sweat and my face and my hands. I get a real knife and a real fork out of metal. And I get a nice dessert. And I'm going to sit there and I'm going to say, I just hope this offends the people in the back, because Sharon and I are sitting in the favor and blessings of God, because everyone beside me had to pay, but I didn't have to pay a penny extra for this. Why? People say, well, because you're like a real high traveler and you get, you know what? I still go into a lottery system. But guess what? There's no lottery in heaven because you've already won. How do we get to the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God within us? I love David. He prophesied in Psalms 145. I will extol you, my God, O King. And I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. How much do you think David is going to bless God? Every day, forever and ever. How did David, an old covenant, be able to experience everything that he did? Because God saw that he was a king. Why? Because he knew the kingdom of God. Verse 3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. This should be how we wake up every morning. This should be how we come to our church services. Don't carry all your baggage in. Why don't you just start praising? Because as we praise, baggage just falls off. Because the devil cannot handle praise. Not praise to God. He just can't handle it. It drives him nuts. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. It's beyond what we could ever try to search out. Why? Because his greatness is here. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Verse 5, and I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. I'm going to meditate. Well, that's a New Age principle. I'm stealing it back from New Age. They stole it from us. I meditate on your glory, God. Verse 6, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. Why are they going to speak of the might? Because they're all celebrating and praising. He's prophesying to you and me. He's saying, you know what? If we celebrate and praise together, you will see the mighty acts of God. And men will speak of it. Men and women are going to speak of it. Why? Because you praise him. You praise him in the morning. You praise him in the afternoon. You praise him in the evening. You praise him in the times of troubles, in the times of distractions. You choose to praise him. And because you choose to praise him, the kingdom of heaven invades in such a way that every miracle that needs to happen happens in Jesus' name. and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory, the testimony of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. How many? To all. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works, all your service, all the help that you do in the kingdom, all the service that you do in Windward is part of the celebration of praise. All your, verse 10 again, all your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his, God's, mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Our praise, our celebration, our choice to praise, our choice when that alarm clock goes off first thing in the morning and you want to destroy the alarm clock, but you get to make a decision in that fleeting moment. You get to say, I choose today to praise you. I'm tired, I'm a little worn out, but I'm going to get up in your presence, I'm going to get up in your glory, and I'm going to say, Father God, you have the victory, and I am your victory for this day in my sphere of influence. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Let's stand. Because we praise him. If we didn't praise him, his kingdom will still endure. It'll be everlasting. But he's looking for the praisers. He's looking for the people that want to celebrate. He's looking for the people that actually fall in love with him in such a level that they shift their mentality, they shift their understanding, they have the mind of Christ being renewed in us every day. And because he's looking for those people, when we choose to step into that power and authority will come upon us. Back when I first gave my life back to Jesus, when I just got out of the rock band and I had a motorcycle accident, I struggled with things of this world, different sins. I was not married at the time, and it was very easy for my eyes to wander on a hot summer day, if you know what I'm talking about. And so how did I deal with it? How did I battle? Well, I tried to convince my mind and whatnot to not sin, and it wasn't working super well. It worked for a week or two, but then I'd stumble. And then I came to a revelation. Praise him. Praise him. And so all of a sudden, as I'm driving along, and there's a woman standing there in a hot summer day, and I'm like, oh God, bless her, praise her. She is a daughter of the King. I don't know if she knows it or not, but she's beautiful because you created her that way, Father. I just celebrate your creation. I celebrate you, God. Thank you and bless her, Father, and bless my life, Lord God, because I have chosen you over sin. I have chosen you over evil thoughts. I have chosen you to invade me in every area of my life. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what? Within 4 to 6 months, I every time I looked at a good-looking woman, that's what came to my mind. And then I married the best-looking woman. And all my mind thinks about with a woman is her. That's it. That's my wife. 29 years. Yippee. This year is 30. Because when our minds are right with Christ and our minds are renewed as Christ's mind in us, the kingdom is part of the package. The kingdom of God in us and the kingdom of heaven around us. Because that kingdom of God, he dwells in the kingdom of heaven. And he wants us to dwell in his kingdom. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been backslidden. Maybe you've been struggling with the same sin over and over again. And you want to say, you know what, I just need more of Jesus in my life. I want you to know, if that's you, just quickly put your hands up really quick. I just want to look and see if any hands. I see those hands. Even on YouTube and Facebook Live, This is the day. This is the reality. This is the victory of a risen Lord and Savior. This is the victory of Easter weekend that we're celebrating. So let's all bow our heads. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's all pray together, okay? Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and rising again to save me from my sins. I give you my life today. I give you my all. Come into me, Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill me. Father God, I am a son or daughter in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you gave that prayer today, you're saved. Your name is now written in the book of life. If you've been backslidden, you gave your life back to Jesus, your name is written in the book of life. If you're already saved and you meant that prayer when you said it, you just wrote in big bold print your name in the book of life. Amen? Because I'll tell you what, the devil was wanting everything not to go this way. But I will tell you what, the devil has no power or control over my way and God's way. Because God's way is my way. If God's way is our way, then the devil is defeated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.